Hey there, it's Rachel from All Things Montessori. Through my Montessori journey, I became a parent, and now I'm starting a series all about parenting. So welcome to All Things Parenting, a podcast that interviews parents, experts, and friends all about the magical, difficult, and chaotic world of parenting. So I have a really interesting guest with me today. It's none other than my husband, Xander Merlesmith.
Hi.
I know. It's a really interesting choice that I've made. Hopefully I don't regret this.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it'll be okay.
What am I doing here?
Well, you're here because one, you are a parent now. So you have some expertise that we're going to be talking about on this podcast. And you're here specifically because you're not a Montessori educator. So you're coming at it at a different viewpoint that a lot of the population actually looks at Montessori.
Perfect.
Yeah. So like, no worries. There was no homework required.
That's great. 'Cause I don't like homework.
I know. So I usually ask on my other podcast, All Things Montessori, I always ask what your Montessori story is. It's a big thing in Montessori, but
Montessori.
Yes. But what I'm going to do instead, I'm going to ask you what your parenting story is. How did you become a parent?
How did I become a parent? Well,
don't go into the biology. Like we don't.
No need. Copy that.
Got it.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh my God, you're welcome.
You all hopefully don't, what I hope that your listeners gain from this is they realize how much of a saint you are by having me as your husband. before we get into it, I've come prepared with one dad joke.
Oh, good. I figured.
I hope that's okay.
Of course.
So how do you make an octopus laugh?
I don't know.
So. If you didn't know the punchline is you give him 10 tickles, but if you knew the joke, I was going to say you give him 8 tickles, one for each foot, which doesn't actually work in
so
the
it's a dad joke on a dad
yeah,
joke.
Yeah. It's like an anti dad joke.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So
I was going to say something
everyone.
With tentacles.
Yeah. And you would have been right.
Yeah, but I didn't, I wasn't going to say it in the right way. I was going to say like tickling tentacles, which doesn't make sense, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, again, what's my parenting story?
Well, Rachel and I became parents recently and we have this beautiful, what in
oh my God,
one,
yeah.
2 days, he's going to be 7 months old.
Yeah.
Holy moly. It's been really scary. I have been basically flying by the seat of my pants the entire time.
I'm going to stop you right there. I am asking how you
got to
this point of where you are thinking I am a parent.
Oh,
that's what I want to know. And that's why I said skip the biology because we all know how babies are made.
Right. That's a hard question. Like, mentally, it has been a journey that I still think that I'm on and I think I'll be on until I die.
Yes.
Because every iteration of parenting is different from the previous one. And even with a 7 month old, I remember when we first brought him home, I was thinking to myself through those many sleepless nights, I just wish for something long, a sleep stretch longer than an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And now I am trying to find ways to engage with a now engaging baby, which is so incredibly amazing. It has been a really tough journey in loss, a slight loss of self and in independence. And that has been tough to grapple with. Luckily, and I know people say this, like, oh, it's like having a dog, right? Like if you have a dog first, like, you know, but part of that is true in that I've already lost a bit of self-independence because I have something that I'm trying to keep alive and build a relationship with, et cetera. Again, nothing the same, nothing alike.
But there are similarities.
But there are some, I say nothing alike, but I just went and said something like that. But it's been crazy, right? Like he's a totally different exploration of it's like a journey that we're both going on, but we're, and then both together, and then both independently, and how we're trying to parent and, right. you know, moving forward. Obviously we haven't had to do much of the, I don't know if you'd call it parenting yet. Like, we are parenting, well, we're not disciplining. Right. We're not disciplining. Sure. Right. And that's a huge next journey that we're going to embark on right. here. Once he develops, you know, his personality and his own freedom, and boy, that's going to be fun. It's an ever changing, the goalposts are always moving. Sure. Right. So I like what I think parenting is right now is not going to be the same definition of my mindset in parenting 3 months from now.
Right.
So like, I can't say that I'm ever going to like be locked onto the idea of parenting, because nothing is ever going to be the same as the day before. But like, mentally, yes, I'm a parent. I'm like, oh yes, my kid, like, I'm going to go pick him up from his in-laws, whatever, like
his in-laws.
All right, my in-laws, his grandparents.
I'm kidding.
Good catch, good catch. Yeah, I don't know. Cool question. Don't know how to answer it.
Yeah, I mean, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, there's not just like, it's not like I came home and I was like, oh my God, I'm a parent now. But I knew that I always wanted to be one, always wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Did you always want to be a dad?
No.
Yeah, I know. I knew the answer to that.
I know. But yeah, no. I mean, it's that same thing. The stark loss of self and independence that I was so fearful of.
Sure.
You know, I've got my very happy, comfortable life and playing video games until 2 o'clock in the morning. And
so Montessori of you.
You know, that's just me. I'm so sorry, everyone, but
it's okay.
We are different people that, you know, came to love one another and start a family together. And I think that's the really cool journey that we're on too, right? It's how different we are that we can come together and still love and raise a little baby boy.
Yeah. But I think we have a lot of similarities too.
True.
Yeah.
True.
And I mean, talk about loss of self. I completely understand. I mean, I've lost my body. I lost so many things along the way, and yeah, there's times where I don't want to say
crying on the floor.
Well, sure. but it's really hard. It's hard. And it's not even, I like to think of it as a new version of myself rather than losing it. But there is a grieving process. Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. But once you kind of grieve that, okay, I'm not 23 anymore. I'm not, you know, I'm not going out. I'm, you know, there's a difference in my life now, but it's new, not because sometimes when you say loss, even though that's technically true, it comes off as negative because,
yeah.
And some parts of it are negative. Like, it's hard. Like, we just did like a really intense bout of helping Wilder sleep through the night, and mm-hmm. it is not made for the weak. It is really, really difficult. And there's a lot of just like a lot of things. And honestly, probably harder for me than it was for the baby. Anyway. Okay. So I asked you your parenting origin story. Now, this is a Montessori inspired and Montessori, you know, based podcast. What is your Montessori story, Xander?
I don't really have a huge background in Montessori. The extent of it basically is the way that our household has started to take shape, through, you know, nesting, et cetera. And I mean, I look around and I go, my idea of what parenting would be is like, there's so many brightly colored toys all over the floor to catch a baby's attention. Mm-hmm. It's so different from what I expected this stage to kind of feel like. And it's been so cool seeing, and I love your, I mean, bless your background in childcare and being a nanny in the past. And because I am at a complete loss of knowing exactly what to do at any given moment. And you've been like, you know, regardless of your background, you're a researched person, and you've done a really good job like creating this very Montessori base for, you know, our son's upbringing. Because I don't really, like, I love the idea of Montessori. I have no idea what's going on, to be honest. And I'm probably the least Montessori educated person you're ever going to have on, you know, some sort of recording that you're putting together. Because, I say that, but even passively, just, you know, through discussions of your work and your livelihood and your passions, like, I get a lot of Montessori from you, but that really is the extent of my Montessori. Totally. You.
So you'd never heard of it before you met me?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, I had never heard of it until my Aunt Kath was sort of like, you should look into it. I had no idea what it was, like, literally no idea. And now it really has. Well, it's changed my life in multiple ways, but it's been so fun to... Montessori is all about the environment.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah, I feel that more now than ever.
Yeah. And so, you know, there are things in our home that... I mean, there's a corner that I'm looking at right now. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a mess right now, but there's a baby that lives here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But... it's aesthetic. It's beautiful. It's part of the room rather than being so jarring or making the wilder space completely separate from where we are.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the whole thing with Montessori is, you know, it's an aid to life. It's fitting the baby into your life. You know, like, that's why I wanted a high chair that turns into a chair that matches our table, that sits at our table. That's why I feed him at the table, because it's letting the child know. I know he's only 7 months old, basically, but instilling that at a young age is really telling him that, like, I care about you. I respect you. And I want you to be in my environment. You don't need something separate. I don't need to, you know, put you in a little playpen and, like, you know, yeah. I want you to have freedom of movement. That's one thing that has been huge for me from the get-go, which I told you about. I think it's really easy to put a child in, like, a container, mm-hmm. which, like, we have some containers. Everybody needs a container. 1000%.
Sure. Especially when he starts cruising.
Yes. But it's so good to have them have freedom of movement.
Yeah.
And so from the beginning, we've just been like, he's just been on the floor.
Yeah. My favorite part about the baby corner is that set of knives you've gotten him.
Oh my God. We actually do use knives in primary. So careful what you wish for. I don't have knives in the corner. Everybody. Don't buy your baby knives. Oh my God. So what other changes have you noticed, like, that have maybe influenced? Because I think that you've found your own rhythm with being a father.
Yeah.
Have you, like, seen something that I've been doing and been like, oh, that's really cool? Or have you seen something and been like, what is that?
Well, before our child, I never held a baby before, which was a pretty big step for me.
You held a baby. You held Scott's baby. You mean like an infant?
Like a baby.
Like a little.
Okay. Like a squishy headed
okay.
newborn.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. So that was scary.
Sure.
Because they're so fragile.
Yeah, but they're also resilient.
Now Wilder, I mean, like, WWE, we can, like, wrestle. You know, it's great. other changes, things that I'm inspired by you about. Let's
or just Montessori, or something you're learning from Wilder. It doesn't have to just be me.
I've learned that growling is fun and help. It's a fun way to, you know, do fun things to do with your voice as sure. a baby. Cause our baby growls. Anybody at home, does your baby just growl at you?
It's so funny.
It's funny. It's weird, but it's mostly funny.
It's definitely weird.
Yeah. Man, what that's a tough question, because I think maybe a lot of it is subconscious for me.
Yeah.
You know, picking up on skills like changing a diaper, feeding him the right way. Like, we both have our own way of feeding him. And that's sure. kind of like, I stick him on my legs and
with the bottle.
With yeah. the bottle, right? Yeah. it's been so cool to see him start to learn to feed himself. I mean, it's still not quite feeding himself. It's kind of like, ooh, this is mushy. And then he goes and tastes his hand.
Yeah. a legend.
Yeah. There's definitely, we still have a long way to go there, but it's exciting because even a month ago when we kind of hit 6 months, we're like, we're going to start trying him with some foods.
Yeah.
And it was a disaster. Nothing happened.
I mean, I gave him avocado, which like a ton of my friends were like, oh yeah, that was their baby's first food. I was like, perfect. It's mushy. Like I'll, whatever. And it was so slippery that he couldn't.
He didn't know what to do with it at all. Now he's grabbing food and like just.
It didn't take long.
Just gnawing on it a little bit.
Yeah. Really, really into peanut butter and yogurt.
Oh, yeah. Who isn't?
Huge. I know. So good.
We should start incorporating that into our own diet.
I have before. It's very good.
Okay.
It tastes like peanut butter ice cream.
I just, like that.
Yeah. It's delicious.
Okay. Yeah. Around the house, honestly. Seeing the very sort of, I don't want to call it plain, but like very muted.
It's natural.
Natural. That's a really great word to describe it that I couldn't quite get there. And everything else felt like with negative connotation.
Yeah, you're like, it's boring. Yeah. It's drab.
Oh, yeah. Boring, drab, tones. Beige. Like, ugh. No, very natural feeling. And even like some of the elements that aren't even necessarily Montessori that have like started to bleed into some of our shelving. You've decided to go and paint and it, everything kind of has started to take on a very natural, lovely feel in our home. And, I like it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a huge science behind that. If you think about how it feels maybe to look at those colors versus let's imagine all those colors were bright red, bright yellow, bright red, bright green. There was something lighting up over there. It would just feel a little bit like it's shocking. It's like, whoa, like it's a lot, you know?
Yeah. I mean, as an avid video game player, I'm used to blinking lights, but.
Sure. And I have nothing against blinking lights, but I do think that when they're young, it's so nice to sort of like, just like Montessori, a big part of it, which is maybe my favorite part. I have many favorite parts, but the environment first and foremost is beautiful. It's inviting. And number one, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So when we were figuring out, we have a coat rack for our child and we took a long time. I was like, I don't know where that goes. What's going to make sense? I thought I wanted it upstairs, outside of his bedroom. And then I was like, well, no, why would he come up here? Why would he come all the way upstairs to put on a coat when we're going downstairs, you know, to go outside? And then we're like, okay, well, maybe we put it by where the keys are in the mudroom. And then like, that didn't really make sense either. And we ended up with it in a place that I actually thought I was going to hate because it's like the entrance to our home. I was like, oh my God, it's going to be too much. But it makes sense because our shoes go there. We have this beautiful bench. There's a plant. It's so cute. It makes so much sense. But I think through logistically every single thing I do with him. Like when I was setting up his nursery, I know I was hounding you to paint it, but it was because I needed to think through that process. And I actually need to rethink through it now that he's like almost 7 months. But I was like, okay, well, what things is he going to want to grab? We rotate the books in his bookshelf. I work with our nanny. She's so great and so into Montessori. And I'm like, okay, Lex, let's rotate the toys. So she'll like switch the downstairs toys and the upstairs toys and kind of refresh them. You know, parents, I just want to, you don't need to keep buying toys. Kids are so beautiful and curious, but they're also not that smart yet. And you can just keep rotating the toys and they're not going to be, it's going to be brand new. If there's a new assortment or something else.
Yeah, you don't
have
them all out at once.
Yeah,
Right now,
it's a little cluttered over there. Probably need, because I found some.
Right. But we've got like, there's six over there and it could be three, four.
Yeah, totally.
And.
Well, he's teething, so he needs a lot of things to eat right now.
But like, a new set of stuffed animals. Like we have just like kind of a box of stuffed animals and some toys that I'm planning on giving him when he gets a little bit older. Yeah. And like, all of those don't need to be out at the same time because he's going to see them all and go, oh, I have all these toys. Like, I need something new in my life.
It's sensory overload. Yeah. I kind of think of it like, think of like Thanksgiving dinner or like a buffet, and you're like overwhelmed by everything. So you end up taking a little bit of every single thing. And yeah, it's great, but you're never really like investing in that thing, right? Like you're going to take a little bit of the mashed potatoes, a little bit, and then arguably you're going to get too much. You're going to have a stomach ache, and it's sort of just like, it's not that great.
Buffets, I always have too much.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah. So my point is maybe it's a little bit like quality over quantity is what I'm saying, you know? Yeah. I'm loving the way things are coming together. I'm excited. It makes me so happy, and I really can't wait. I'm going to buy him a little table that he can finally like sit at if he's like having breakfast or something, like if he wants his own table and chairs, because everything, you know, you want it to be at their level, child size, which is another reason why you probably maybe thought it was weird, but the pictures at his level, like
that was, I actually really liked it once you described kind of the purpose behind it. And it makes a lot of sense, right? It's his environment.
Right. Like he can't, like, why would we put something up high? Because, you know, it's so cool for him to be able to look at something on his own without somebody picking him up and looking at it. Like we can pick him up and he can look at some of the art in our room or our house, and that's fine. But it's cool that he has some stuff at his level, and it's cool that it will grow with him. I don't know. It's just the thing about Montessori that I keep coming back to is they're simple things.
Yeah.
I think sometimes you hear the word Montessori or you Google Montessori and it's like, oh my God, I have to spend $10,000 to like get all this shit. No, you do not. You don't need to do that. You don't need to. There are so many ways to implement. I mean, honestly, IKEA has great natural furniture.
Yeah.
You know, like there's so many beautiful ways. And also like look through what you have. Like one of my favorite little hacks, if you're trying to work with your toddler on how to wash dishes, I can't wait to do this with Wilder. Literally just take your sponge and cut it in half. And so then it's just like,
it's like baby sponge size.
Yeah. But like, that's so easy.
Yeah.
Sponges are like $2, mm-hmm. you know, anyway.
And you've just made two $1 sponges.
That's right. Okay. So getting back to fatherhood, I know you're 7 months in, and I know like we keep saying like, oh, well, we're not really like quote unquote parenting yet, but I do think some of the hardest transformation is in the beginning.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
As a person. You know, talking about this transformation and sort of grieving of your former self. So if you think about all of that and where you are now, now you have a baby who reacts when you walk in the room, you have a baby who's smiling, who's excited. Like, how does it feel now versus maybe 6 months ago?
It's interesting because we had somebody in our family that had said something along the lines, another guy that had said that he couldn't really connect with his baby when he was just, you know, a blob or whatever.
Sure.
When I first heard that, not being a parent, I was like, that's a little weird. But when we had Wilder, like I definitely related to that in a lot of ways where I was going obviously through one of the hardest transformations of myself that I've ever had to do in, I don't sleep anymore.
right. It's like, we're fine. We're sleeping on our couch.
Yeah. Like into slowly watching this kid learn that his hands exist.
I know. It's so cool.
And I remember the first time that I kind of forced the issue, but I stuck something in his hand. It was just like a little tiny, spatula.
Oh, right.
And I was like, look, he's holding it. And I sent a picture to you and it was, definitely not something that he did on his own, but now you can't stop that kid from grabbing stuff, which is just amazing that to see those slow, like cognitive developments in him, and every day there's some new skill going on. And now he's like starting to sleep on his tummy. Honestly, he's starting to sleep on like his knees face.
It's a baby thing.
I don't get
it. I've seen so many babies do that.
How is that comfy? But it works.
It works.
As long as he's sleeping. And I think every parent will agree that I don't care how you sleep, man. Sleep.
Don't care.
So as long as he's not suffocating, yeah, he can sleep on his knees and face. Yeah, it's been such a cool transformation between a month old to 7 months old. I mean, boy, every week there's some new thing that, like, I'll go to work, right? Even in a single day, I'll go to work and come back and you go, listen to what he did today.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, it's something stupid.
I know, but it's so cool.
It's something stupid, but it's something new.
Yeah.
That he's never done before as a human being.
Right. I know. Which, how crazy is that?
Crazy.
I know.
So, I'm digging it.
I know. I didn't know how cool it would be to, like, witness a human becoming a human being. I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
But I get truly emotional when, because it takes my breath away. Like, the first time he grabbed a spoon and he had it on the wrong end. And so then he, like, switched it himself.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, you're literally a genius.
And then, like, right after that, he, like, jams it down his throat and, like, you're sure. Like, oh yeah, you're still a baby. I forgot about that.
Sure. But seeing him learn those skills, seeing him be excited, that's the one thing too. He's so excited when he gets stuff too.
Yeah.
It's so sweet. He's so proud of himself. Yeah. It's so great. Moving into a different kind of section. You are now a teacher.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Right. So, do you implement any Montessori tendencies into your teaching? I know you teach college kids.
Yeah, a little bit different.
How do you foster independence with your students?
With my students, how do I foster independence? Well, the good ones have it figured out. The ones that I need to work with a little bit more, I call it, honestly, finding a way to give them a small win.
Okay, I love that.
Yeah. So in one of my classes, they have to do two big projects, one of which is smaller scale, and one of them is they have to run two separate esports events. Because surprise, surprise, I work in video games. and so they have to run two small esports events, one smaller, one with higher stakes. And the one that is kind of halfway through the class is, it's kind of insignificant. Honestly, anybody can run these types of events with, you know, a little bit of planning and knowing what they want to do and engaging their audience, etc. But I use it specifically so that they can go, one, I made this; two, it was successful; three, they get to see the engagement of their audience and the smiles on the faces of people around them, enjoying a product that they successfully created. And then they go on to do something with much higher stakes, working with, you know, external vendors and parties, right, and stuff like that. But that's part of the thing that, and I use that class specifically as an example to find a way to engage some of the people that don't necessarily have college quite figured out. You know, it's still just another growth period, and some come into college with way more life experience and time management and a lot more of it figured out than others. And the ones that don't have it figured out, I always try and, like, find a way to foster interests and engage them in a way that works for their learning style. And oftentimes that's finding a way for them to feel proud about what they've done, finding them a win.
I love that. Well, because that win will instill confidence, which will instill, you know, oh, I did that well. I figured something out. Because I'm sorry, like, college can be so intimidating and so difficult and so hard. And also you have freedom, but you don't know what to do with it. So I think kind of giving them that quote unquote freedom to, like, succeed in these ways, but, you know, you're doing it in that way that is going to pretty much ensure that they're going to succeed, which is great. And then it's going to just, like, help them further down the road.
Hopefully, and this is one of the big things in life, is everything is kind of a set of dominoes. Mm-hmm. The very first one, although small, can feel like the hardest one to knock over. And once they do that, it can have rippling effects through their own engagement and future successes. So,
yeah, totally.
So, and we experience this in our lives every single day, trying so hard to knock over that first domino. Mm. And, I mean, I know that this was something that you've, this particular offshoot of all things, trying to find a good jumping off point. I was really happy to be a part of kind of the genesis of, you know, or the origin story, or the first domino of hopefully what is, you know, a really cool series about parenthood. Because I know that it is really hard to take that first step on something that you've, like, it's so easy to stay in the planning phases for something for ages.
Forever.
And finding ways to get wins is such a great way to just get started.
Well, and relating it kind of back to parenting.
Yeah.
Parenting is all about small wins. Are you kidding? Like, we've said, like, okay, like, he slept this many hours last night, like, we did it. Or like, he tried.
Folks, we will literally high five.
Seriously. Like, well, the other day when I gave him peanut butter, I was like, okay, he's not allergic to peanuts. Like, small wins, but I think they are so important to celebrate. Parenting, work, life, marriage, it can become so monotonous sometimes because you're just getting through, right? You're getting through it. You're working on it, you know, you can just kind of go through the motions so many times in life. And I sometimes feel like all we do is wait. We're waiting for the next, you know, waiting for something to be over with, waiting for that next promotion, waiting for, I don't even know, but sometimes I feel like life is just waiting, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's so cool to celebrate those small wins. And actually, I will say, watching Wilder grow, it gives me like almost like reverence to be like, it's so, like, when he first sat up, like, sitting is like,
yeah. And that today he just set a new deadlift PR. So
you gotta stop.
Okay.
First time I told you to stop and it's been like 30 minutes. So that's actually like pretty, hey,
pretty good.
Pretty good. My God. I just like, can't.
I told you.
I know. All right. So what are some of the lessons you've learned through fatherhood? So far,
take naps.
Okay.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Lessons I've learned through fatherhood. Well, I have found that through, and I don't know if this is necessarily through, now we are more experienced at sleep deprivation,
right,
or the fact that we have so many moving parts in our lives, and Wilder is now a very, very large addition to that craziness in our lives, because we both lead separate lives, different careers, et cetera. And that's already difficult to handle. And then now we both need to keep a dog alive and a baby alive, and then also parent the baby and make sure he develops and becomes a successful, happy child.
Correct.
But I found that now more than ever, communication is paramount.
Yeah.
It is one of the most important things that we need to every single day make a focused effort to be on the same page.
100%.
Because the household just falls apart if we don't. And I don't mean like cleanliness or whatever.
It does,
but like, you know, if we are even off a little bit on like our schedules and what we expect of the other person to be in certain places at certain times, whatever, it can have pretty damaging effects on, I think, just you and me, right? Like,
totally.
for like, you know, we're just, and we'll get like, maybe just like a little frustrated with the other person. But then if we don't communicate about that frustration, then that ripples into bigger problems. And
for sure.
So communication has really been something that I've found that has needed to get stronger with the baby. I don't mean talking to the baby.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I could not agree more. And I wanted to stress again, like, I mean, I work in communications, but I have to work. I have to work at it. I have to work at it because, like, you're tired. You are dealing with 10,000 things. And I mean, still, Xander, I'm like, oh, yeah, I told you that. And you're like, no, you didn't. I'm like, I don't know if I did. Like, I literally don't know.
And that's the thing is, like, I don't think you're gaslighting me. Sure. I think maybe you did tell me and I just didn't hear it.
But also maybe I didn't.
Exactly.
And I said it in my brain and then I didn't do it, you know?
And that's why we now have an agenda literally on our wall of the upcoming week. Because
sure do. And I love it. I look at it every
day. On the same page.
Woo. And I still haven't put my calendar on there. I will do that. Mm. God, today was too crazy. Are you looking forward to seeing more Montessori things come up in your house as Wilder ages?
I am curious what future steps look like, because I've heard, and even like when you worked for a Montessori school, I've poked my head into various classrooms and see these little dudes just wandering around, and what I think no child that age should be wielding weaponry and whatnot.
They cooked us that engagement lunch.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. You know, like
9-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Actually, like cutting all of the vegetables and actually dealing with hot plates and like stuff that I personally go, no, that's for the adults.
Sure.
Montessori all of a sudden is going, no, give the kids access, let them learn themselves. My dad was, I don't think he was Montessori driven.
No, but you had a very Montessori upbringing. I think
my father gave me a pocket knife and then I sliced up my fingers trying to whittle a little, you know, stick dagger or whatever. And then he put a Band-Aid on and he gave me a new knife.
I can't.
Like, he was like, you know what? You need to respect the blade. And I think that I am excited to see what things like that, not
knives. We've been talking a lot about knives.
I know. I'm very excited about the knife portion of upbringing of our child. but I'm excited to see what kind of things like preconceived notions about what I think certain stages of life should look like versus what Montessori thinks certain stages of life should look like.
Oh, totally. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already started to talk about that with like childproofing, because we know we want to do a fair amount, but we know that we also don't want to go crazy. And that's another part of me, you know, really wanting him to learn by example. I don't want him to hurt himself. We're obviously going to childproof things that he will literally hurt himself with. But, you know, I think the world is really childproofed. And I mean that in a lot of ways. I think the world does not cater to children. Furniture doesn't fit them. You know, things are way too up high. Things are too fast. Things are too loud. Everybody's so busy. There's just so many things that is a lot for a child to take in. If you think about it, I mean, think about how crazy our schedules are. Think about if Wilder had like soccer practice and like basketball practice and like a swimming thing and a play date and stuff. I mean, when he's like 5, I mean, that is so much to juggle.
Yeah.
So I think that sometimes society doesn't let children be children. And that's a reason that I love Montessori so much, because it really calls to the child's developmental stages and lets them just be kids.
Yeah.
And I love that. That's how I had my childhood. I ran outside all the time. I played outside all the time. I mean, it was the 90s. It was a different time. It was great. But
be back when the street lights come on.
Yeah, right. It was definitely a different time. But I think about that, and I definitely want, I want him to play outside. I want him to get dirty in mud. I want him to love food. I want him to help me cook. I want him to, you know, really relish in like real life things. And I think he's already doing that.
I have a vivid memory of me when I was a kid. There was, I lived in a pretty rural area, and there were kind of these, you know, drainage ditches that you see along any kind of country road. And it had rained a lot on a particular day, and the ditches became small little creeks.
Oh, fun.
And so, and they were like kind of deep. I mean, 3.5 feet of water going through these, kind of running slowly. And my dad was like, go swim.
Oh, fun.
And so I just went swimming down the road in this drainage ditch because there was so much water running through it. I don't think that was like you know, I think maybe runoff from the street, maybe there's like chemicals in there and it's like not great, but I, you know, I was living in the environment and I am now still alive.
Yes. I love that though.
Yeah.
That's great.
So yeah, we're definitely doing stuff like that.
I don't know if we're going to do drainage ditches.
Well, I mean, not we'll that do something specifically.
Yes.
But yes, something ditch adjacent.
For sure. Yes. Well, I love being a parent with you. And thank you so much for coming and talking about being a parent and a father.
This has been so fun.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that we got to hang.
Yeah. It's really, really hard to hang when we live in the same house.
Yeah. Well, the baby's asleep, so.
That's right.